time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, 49ers fans? It's wonderful to be with you guys today. I'm excited about today's show because we have lots of information gathered that I wasn't quite sure where to put or how to introduce to the show. And so I just kept like, man, just, you know, snowball effect. It just kept gathering. So the title of today's show is 49ers draft trends. Again, just more and more information that we have collected. You know, we've had Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch here for a while, since 2017. So just kind of draft trends that we've noticed, going to go over the positions that they've drafted, going to go over the, you know, different trades that they were involved in, all those different things, plus some combine talk, some prospect talk. We have the final numbers from the Debo trade, what that is going to be reflected, plus, speaking of Debo, not only are we going to announce one autographed Debo jersey giveaway, we did a predict the trade on our social media. If you haven't followed us on 49ers Instagram, just 49ers Rush, or on Twitter, JL underscore Chapman, go do that. That's where we do a lot of those. But also details on another autographed Debo jersey. I got to move into inventory. I have like 7 autographed Debo jerseys that, yeah, why not? Let's get them in the hands of the faithful, even though he's not on the team. I still think Debo is awesome, and I'm very thankful for all that he has done for the 49ers, and I hate the way that it ended, but that's what we got. So very jam-packed show today, and I just do want to say thank you to all the hashtag CCs, the countdown crew, which means we are in giveaway season, so stay tuned. We'll talk a little bit more about how you can win an autographed Debo Samuel jersey. What's up, David Gill? This is episode number 1349 of the 49ers Rush Podcast. Thank you to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and the man right here, David Gill, with the awesome sunglasses. Appreciate you guys. We are now in the post-combine world where the NFL is about to shift rather quickly. There's no offseason in today's NFL. I personally love that. Free agency's right around the window. So we're going to have a couple more episodes, draft talk, but then, man, it's going to be free agency. It's going to be here before we know it. And look at this. Chanthavi says, you know, unfortunately, Niners draft trend is to neglect the offensive line and draft raw athletic score, except for Pooney. Yeah, Pooney was a little bit of a trend breaker. Low RAS scores, they're fine with that. They care. And again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that too. I'm building this week. What are some of the metrics that the 49ers like per positions? Offensive line, they don't really go for the athletic. They go for the move guys. The RAS score is incredible. And it basically, you know, it judges your height, weight, speed, and how athletic you are for that. The Niners don't typically go, especially offensive line, for the big size athletic freaks. It's not really what they do. They go for the smaller, more quicker type guys. Jake Brindle is, they didn't draft him, but he's kind of the quintessential model for what the 49ers look for in that offensive line. Like bargain bin guys that other teams perhaps not be high on, but they think is a fit. And yeah, offensive line, they do not go at that. But that short shuttle, even though I think Kyle and John both said, like, we don't even track that, but they want those guys that can move horizontally, that lateral agility. And so that's where that comes in. Love it. Rob, hope Kyle and John wear the same as last draft day. Yeah, if the 49ers could replicate that 2024 draft class, it was just, man, like you could keep going back. And there's plenty of draft misses and being upset and, you know, should have done this, should have done that. And we're going to go through some of that today. But, I mean, again, look back at last year's draft class. Without Adam Peters, by the way, Ricky Pearsall hit. Renardo Green, hit. Dominic Pooney, hit. Malik Mustafa, hit. Isaac Rendo, we'll see. Jacob Cowing, we'll see. Jarrett Kingston, gone. Tatum Bethan, we'll see. But you've got one, two, three, four hits. If you get four hits every single draft, man, you're going to be very, very happy. Most teams have seven draft picks. 49ers are going to have 10 or 11. I think it's going to be 11. Compensation pick finalization will take place before the new league year. Nick Corte, who works for Over the Cap, he's kind of the guru of this. He expects that to happen sometime in the next 7 days. So we'll keep you up to date on that one. Right here, random dude here. He says, what's up, John? Perfect timing. Niner content on my lunch break. That's what's up. I got to run to the bank and stuff. And so I had to go a little bit later today, but I'm glad it worked out. When is the post-combine mock draft? Yeah, that's going to be coming out for sure. We just finalized the 49ers rush team. Shout out to my man, Ben. And we've got so many people helping. We're just getting all of this data collected and, you know, put out in the correct way in our sheets and, you know, being able to, you know, the Excel spreadsheet madness. And again, this is something that's going to be available to everybody that is the 49ersrush.com subscriber, any level, or our Patreon, any level. You're going to get everything. We're going to give you more information than you want. And you're going to be able to use that. So, that post combine mock draft, I'm going to have to get one done here soon. Right here, David. Losing Debo is tough, but I think overall it will be a good thing. Well, let's, David, thank you. Let's segue into, let's wrap up the Debo trade details. The salary cap implications, the dead money, all that fun stuff. And, you know, it's not, the 49ers are going to lose an extra $15.1 million salary cap per this trade, which won't become official until March 12th. So, like, if you go look at, you know, Over the Cap or SpoTrack or any of that stuff, and that's a direct tweet from the founder of SpoTrack. I already know there's going to be people telling me I'm wrong on this and whatever. That's fine. Tell him he's wrong. But so let's detail this, okay? Debo is counting $16 million against the cap this year for the 49ers already, but he's getting that additional $15 million in cap space. So it's going to be a $31 million cap hit this year for Debo not to be on this team. That's the horrible, yuck, whatever. Shout out to Akash. You know, he put that together. But in 2026, Debo is now going to be a zero cap hit. That's huge because you had four void years on Debo's contract. Washington took that. That's that $17.5 million that they took. Now, 49ers cap, shout out to my main man, Jason. He's the best of the best. Here is what he put on his site, which go to 49erscap.com for all cap questions. He is the guy. The 49ers now will take $31,550,012 in dead money for 2025 year, which is a loss of just over $15 million in cap room for 2025, but removes all future dead money. So it seems the 49ers will take all that dead money hit now in 2025. So the pending dead money is gone, but that cap hit's still going to be $31 million this year. So it just, that doesn't happen until March 12th, the new league date, which is 9 days from today. That's what that is. That sucks. Paying somebody, and I know, I know people are like, oh, this is great, 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 and they're going to spend every single move the 49ers do in a positive way. It's not great to pay somebody $31 million to play for another team. That is bad. The 49ers now lead the NFL in dead cap spending. That's not a positive. That is a negative. I don't care how you spin it, politically, whatever you want to do, that's stupid. You have to do better with your contracts. You have to moving forward. Otherwise, we're going to have more cap casualties happen, which is kind of today's NFL. Darius Slay just got, he's a cap casualty. There's going to, Alex Kappa, there's going to be a bunch of them. But this is one of the things you want to manage, especially if you have ownership and GM saying, well, cash spending got out of control. Bad contracts. You got to get rid of those. Now, for our competition on the Debo Samuel giveaway autographed jersey, we put out there, predict where the trade's going to go. The tiebreaker will be if you can predict what he's traded for. Five people across Instagram and Twitter got it correct. DKY, Jamie, Jody, Elvin, and the winner, however, and the first one, that's, there was nobody that predicted a fifth round pick, But so then we went to the first correct answer, and that was none other than 49ers media. So congrats there. They guessed Commanders, and they were the first ones in there to guess that. So I'm mailing that out to them. But if you want a 49ers autographed Deebo Samuel jersey, here's what we're going to do. Later this week on a show, I'm not sure the date yet, but this week in the next 7 calendar days, we're going to do a giveaway, the hashtag CC. So if you join us for a live show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Twitch, wherever, if you do that hashtag CC in the first kind of minute and a half of our videos, you are entered into. We're going to be giving this away later this week. So for all of you that got your hashtag CCs in today, guess what? You're entered, but you can enter multiple times. We just have an Excel spreadsheet. I copy paste in there, and then we'll do a number, and it goes to that. Now, here's how you get better chances to, one, win more stuff, autographed Deebo jersey later this week, but also support the channel. It's free. It's easy right here.
If you haven't already, go ahead and click that subscribe button. And right next to that subscribe button is the bell. Once you click on that, click all. That way, anytime we go live, you will get notified and you will be able to enter into all of the giveaways that we do for Countdown Crew. And to be honest with you, it is by far the best way to support our channel. Thank you. Hit that subscribe button. Turn on all notifications.
They say money can't buy you happiness. That might be true, but money sure can make you feel a lot of other things. When did you decide to take care of your money and why? Me, as somebody that branched out, got away from the normal paying job and had to take care of my own business and started from the ground up, money is stressful and it's been hard for me. But Acorns was a major part of the decision that made me be able to do the 49ers Rush podcast. Acorns is a financial wellness app that helps you take control of your money with simple tools that make it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. My favorite thing, you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, as little as $5. Even if all you have is spare change, you can get started. So if you're ready to take control of your money, sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers. Again, acorns.com/49ers, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, so I do like a couple of these comments. Thank you, Sin. Hashtag CC. Hi, John. If we find another playmaker, we'll be just fine. And this draft is loaded with them. I do think that you need a veteran wide receiver and a rookie. You probably need three. I think that's huge. 49ers updates. John, do you think BA gets traded? I do not. I personally think your foundation moving forward should be Brock. You've got Ricky Pearsall and you've got B.A. in whatever order you want to go in, I don't care. Those three are your skill position players for the next 4 to 5 years. They're under contract. Well, Brock, once he gets his deal, those are your guys. Now, I didn't mention Juwan Jennings, who I love because he's got 1 year. This is the last year on his deal. I don't think if money issues are the problem, I don't think you offer another second, you know, a third contract to him. I don't see that. I would love for him to stay. George Kittle, I think he gets an extension. I think he's got maybe 2 to 3 years that you're projecting. But the blueprint should be, man, if we're trying to get young, BA's already signed. Pearsall's got 4 years left because he was a first-round pick. And then whatever you're going to give Purdy, that is a perfect pairing. Now, is Ayuk injured? What's that going to be? I understand that. But I'm not selling low. I'm not selling low. I just don't buy that. And so, like, Kenny Powers, trade Ayuk for a third this year and a fourth? Golly, that would be some of the – I just think that's – I don't like that at all. They're like, no. Especially whatever you could have traded him and you didn't. Well, you signed him. Now you move forward with the signing. I just don't understand how that makes you a better football team now. I don't get it. So, yeah. Yeah, I just – I don't like – that idea. Is he expected to be what he was? No, but maybe he can be. And if you trade him for anything less than a second, I am just like appalled. And just how could you more mismanage the contract? How could you more mismanage his usage in 2024? How could you more mismanage this trade? That's just like three horrible decisions stacked on top of each other. You already paid him the dead money's out. Signing bonus is out. So now, let's see what he could do. Let's see what he could do. Randall dude here. Do you think we're getting a wide receiver day two now that Debo is gone? Yes, I do. And I hope that's where we get one. I do not want a first round wide receiver. I want first round trenches. I want second round trenches. If I had my claim to like, okay, when should the Niners start to target a wide receiver? Third, fourth, fifth round. That's where it should be. Third, fourth, fifth round. Or later. I want veteran wide receiver help. Just Darius Slayton. Get Darius Slayton in here. Solve so many issues. Oh, I'd be so happy with that. Continuing, do you think Savion Williams would be there in the second? He sure as hell better because he's not that good a football player. He's not that good a wide receiver. I love Savion Williams, but not in the second round. Back into the third. He's going to go in the second. I just hope it's not to us. He's not a good wide receiver. He's a freak athlete that looks like Julio Jones, that runs poor routes, drops the ball, fumbles consistently. That, to me, is just not a second-round pick worthy in a deep second-round draft. I like Savion Williams, but not at that price tag, right? You told me third round, I could stomach it. You told me that 99th pick, that third-round comp pick, I'd be cool with it. You tell me the fourth round, all right. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of where I am. And, yeah, you get a guy like Isaac Tesla out of Arkansas who's physical freak, you know, combine warrior. You get that dude day three. I would prefer that over whatever else. John, which wide receivers should the Niners draft? I'll just, again, if I had my choice, I'm waiting. Like, you give me a Jalen Royals in the fourth. You give me a Torrey Horton in the fourth. Ty Felton in the fifth. Ricky White in the fourth. Pat Bryant in kind of third, fourth. Kobe Hudson, fifth. Yeah, those are the guys. That's what I want. Like, you don't have to go after these premier whatever. Yeah, I want Matthew Golden because I love that dude. What he did for Texas this past year is great. The testing's great. Fits what the Niners like at wide receiver, but I don't want to spend a first-round pick on that. I don't. I'm staying away from that. Now, shout-out to my main man, David, over on Patreon. And if you are part of the 49ersrush.com or a Patreon and you want a certain breakdown, you know, the all 22, we've got about 15 of them up, about 20 players combined. And we're just building to that library. Like, I'm spending most of my time on the draft book, which is going to be available to everybody. But if you want a film breakdown of somebody and you support the show, that's how I feed my family over on the 49ersrush.com. So he requested Femi Oladejo, who is a fun player. Again, kind of fits this, you know, Jaylon Walker, Jihad Campbell, Micah Parsons mold, these off-ball athletic freaks that you transition to an edge rusher. And, man, Femi Oladejo is awesome. He's one of my favorite things about this draft profile process. Now, he finished with UCLA, but you talk just about, I mean, he's a local California kid, Sacramento Elk Grove, right? If you know football. But just smart as hell. Just absolute freaking. He goes to Cal. Then he transfers to UCLA. Just bright kid. Smart as hell. Just academic everything all the time. And so they just transitioned, because he's such a freak athlete, to edge rusher. Like, these are guys that you can get day three. Maybe he might go a little bit earlier. But anyway, that's my next video breakdown, all 22 coaches tape, that's going to be over there. And yeah, David, I just saw Demo's tweet as well. Diamandouro Lenore just tweeted, Savion Williams like that. He's a stud. He is an absolute stud. So that's what's next. Now, I got a question, and this is funny. I like the hindsight aspect of this. The question was from David M. He said, I'm curious, who was the one that got away from you? Who was your biggest draft crush that the 49ers did not get? That is a long list. That is a very, very long list. So I went through, we started doing draft work in 2017. 2018, I started doing draft profiles. 2019, we started ranking prospects. So we've just built and built and built. We've been doing this now. This is like, golly, we're going into year 9, about to wrap up year 8. But man, here's a handful of guys that I was way on top of, and they're not all hits. Okay. I loved Kelvin Harmon. The wide receiver. Dude never did anything. I thought he was a first round pick. I thought he was awesome. So, like, this is not a pound my chest, John Chapman knows. This is a list of guys that I was super high on that I really wanted the Niners to get it somehow. Buda Baker, probably at the top of the list. I loved that dude, and he was small and whatever else and didn't fit the mold. I didn't care. Buda Baker was the guy. Creed Humphrey's probably the one I'm most angry about, butthurt on, whatever you want to say. I'm still pissed every time I hear about Creed Humphrey, because one, he's from OU, who I hate, and he went to the Chiefs, who I hate, and he freaking dominated us, which I hate. Like, Creed Humphrey should have been the pick instead of Aaron Banks, but I digress. Cortland Sutton. I loved Cortland Sutton coming out. Nassir Adderley. I really, really liked him. He didn't have the best career, injuries. Derek Stingley. He was pretty damn close to my number one overall player in that draft, and I got a lot of flack for that because everybody had Sauce Gardner, which was not wrong. But I knew Derek Stingley, if he stayed healthy, would be incredible. He did stay healthy. Now, flip side. Somebody that, if they stayed healthy, would be great. Caleb Farley. He did not. He had that back issue, and it followed his career. Now he's basically done. Jalen Phillips, a huge Jalen Phillips guy. Christian Darrisaw, that dude I just knew was going to be great. Andrew Thomas, another one. But again, I get some wrong. Ike Mukwanu, I had him as my number one player. Didn't fit the mold. Jermaine Johnson, like, that's my kind of short list on guys that I was just like, if the Niners could do anything and get these guys, kind of my favorite players from a lot of different drafts. That list. It's a solid list. It is a solid list. But, there's some misses on there. There's no doubt about that. Jake Moody was my draft crush. Jason. The funny thing is, a lot of people were like, dude, Jake Moody, draft. I remember we were doing a mock draft with Wayne Breezy, and he's like, dude, let's take him in the third. I was like, dude, that would be the dumbest thing in the world. He nailed it. He was right, and I was right. David says, I wanted Robert Nkemdiche so bad. He was fun player that just absolutely did not like football. He didn't like football. And so, anyway, those are some of the misses that I really, really wanted. A lot of them hit. Baker hit, Humphrey hit, Sutton hit, Stingley hit, Phillips hit, Darrisaw hit, Jermaine Johnson hit, Ikem Ekwonu missed, and Nassir Adderley probably a miss, Kelvin Harmon a miss. There's misses in there. Caleb Farley's a miss. So, I mean, this is just the NFL draft. There's misses everywhere, and especially when you're talking about Lori, missed on Moody. Yeah, Moody and misses, those go together all the time. Hey, appreciate you. Let's talk Niners. Hello to the faithful, my boy John Best, podcaster on the net. Man, that's so nice. I really appreciate that. Let's talk Niners. I love it. Now, I did a little researching just on the positional breakdowns of where the 49ers have drafted since 2017. This does not weight or allocate first, second, third round, whatever. This is just this many positions, this many players. Okay, we'll start at the bottom. The 49ers since 2017, since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have arrived, they picked one kicker and one punter. Those two, Mitch and Moody, are still on the 40. And I think it's actually Mitch Wisnowski's birthday, which I like Mitch Wisnowski. I don't think that you should ever draft a punter. I sure as hell don't think you should draft a punter in the fourth round ever. But we have the highest drafted kicker and punter in the NFL currently on our roster. Both terrible units. That's an issue. If I had an ideal world, you would move on from both of those. You know, you're talking salaries. Mitch gets like $2 million as a punter. I just don't think that that's wise funds, draft capital, or salary cap stuff. Just, yeah, it's not me. Not me. Not me. Three quarterbacks have been drafted. Let me see if I can name those off the top of my head. C.J. Beathard, right? Trey Lance, Nick Mullins. Those are your three. Four running backs, four safeties, five linebackers, five tight ends, seven O-linemen, eight corners, a lot of cornerbacks, 10 defensive linemen, zero last year, and 11 wide receivers. Wide receivers takes the cake. That's stupid. You run the least wide receiver heavy offense in the NFL, but you have drafted the most wide receivers in your time, and this isn't a small sample size. That's 11. Here's what adds to it. Like, how do we start the show? You got to draft more. You're still not there. That's a problem for a team that specializes in 11 and 21 personnel. And you've had hits. Debo was a hit. Ayuk was a hit. Jennings was a hit. But we just keep burning. It's so many misses. Jalen Hurd, the injuries. Actually like that pick a lot. Again, back to misses. I had Jalen Hurd ranked one spot ahead of Debo in my wide receiver rank. I was so high on Jalen Hurd. So, again, maybe I'm too good at this. I remember the misses more than I remember the hits. I think that's kind of a part of human emotion, right? Like the misses and all that stuff, that burns a little bit more, right? Man. So I hate that we have allocated so few resources to O-linemen. And I hate that we have used so many resources to wide receivers. I don't like that. I don't like it. Me no gusta. 49ers drafted a long snapper in the fifth round. Oh, man. Brock Purdy was the third quarterback. Am I missing one? If I'm missing one, four quarterbacks. Is that what I said? I said three. My bad. My charts. Yeah, I mess up all over the place. It's what it is. It is strange, Mike. For a running team to draft that many wide receivers, it's weird. It is weird. And it's a Kyle Shanahan issue. Kyle Shanahan wants wide receivers. He played wide receiver. It's what it is. Big Dez. Ain't Kyle Shanahan the so-called wide receiver whisperer? I don't think anybody's ever said that. I've never heard anybody say that. But, yeah, that's his position that he wants to spend the most time with. We did draft two all-pro wide receivers. You got the hits there. You have to. Now, comparing this to the rest of the wide, you know what's crazy is Kyle Shanahan is now one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL. The NFL, what's it stand for? Not for long, right? I remember the old NFL films. I think that's a Bill Parcells thing. But yeah, like Kyle Shanahan's one of the longest tenured head coaches in the NFL now with the current team. We've had a lot of changeover with, you know, Carroll and, you know, Bill Belichick and whatever. It's rough out there on these NFL streets. No doubt about that. And so, comparing it to other general manager coaching, you know, tandems, that's where it gets rough. That's where it gets rough. Now, I mentioned this on yesterday's show, 2 days ago, I think. Players the 49ers have traded up for. This is where it gets gross. This list is not fun. Reuben Foster, traded up for him, miss. Traded up for C.J. Beathard, I don't think really a miss, but not a hit. Joe Williams, never even had. How do you trade up for a running back at the draft and never even get one carry for your team? Man, again, now this is why the 49ers only care about do you love football because of Joe Williams. Dante Pettis, miss. Caden Smith, miss for us. Brandon Ayuk hit. Trey Lance missed. Trey Sermon missed. Jair Brown, jury's out. Isaac Grando, jury's out. We'll see. Those two, maybe they could, you know, do some things. But, gosh, that's a rough list, man. It's not nice. I don't like it. I don't like it. So, can you say the 49ers shouldn't trade up, right? So, like, what do we learn from these trends? You're not good at it. That's very, very clear. But whenever you pair a trade down and a trade up, that's usually where I think things start to kind of look good, right? So, like, okay, players that you've traded down for. You traded down for Solomon Thomas, which was a miss, but you got the pick that got you Fred Warner. That's a hit. You traded down for Javon Kinlaw. That's a miss, but that gave you the capital to trade up for Brandon Ayuk. That's a hit. I don't think that there's a lot of trade downs. What else am I missing? Off the top of my head, I think that's about it. You traded down for Aaron Banks. That was a miss. And one of the picks that you got, I don't remember who it was for, but yeah, I don't think the 49ers have been great at trades, draft day trades. I just really, really don't. Do I think the 49ers should sit still? No. Should having such a checkered past draft moving up and down stop you from doing that in the future? I don't believe so. I think you need to be calculating, like, why did we miss on these guys? The reason why you miss on these guys is because Kyle Shanahan pounds the table and, you know, this gut whatever. And I was so high on Dante Pettis. He was my second wide receiver in that draft class. The separation was off the charts. Punt return ability, off the charts. But again, psychological, he's got Jake Moody head. Where it just, I don't know how you go from having zero drops in a major NFL or college football conference like Dante Pettis to being scared of getting hit and short arming. Like, you never saw it on tape. It just developed. I didn't like it. Benali, CJ Beathard will always be worth it to me. Team getting Kittle and because the compensation pick that you used to select Brock Purdy was because of CJ Beathard signing with the Jags. And again, they were watching the CJ Beathard and they're like, this tight end has something to Iowa, teammates, all that stuff, roommates, that led them to Kittle. Well said, Benali. Well said. It does make it hard whenever you had Patrick Mahomes in that draft and he was on the board when you were picking and you didn't even scout him. It's kind of weird, but that was the whole Kirk Cousins thing. It's weird. Punter Bradley Pinion was drafted in the fourth or the fifth round. That was before the Shanahan era, if my memory serves correctly. I want to make sure that's right. Let's see here. But yeah, like, they let him go. I think that Bradley Pinion was on the roster. Yeah, he was drafted 2015. So he was on the 49ers roster when Shanahan for the first 2 years, 2017, 2018, they let him walk. And then you drafted Mitch. And I'll be honest with you, Bradley Pinion's been way better than Mitch. You could have just kept him, but I don't like paying punters either unless they're a difference maker. I don't think Bradley Pinion fit in that. Cynthia, the Niners should bring McLuhan, and it's a console. I always mess up his name based on spelling. Yeah, one of my favorite articles every year is The Athletic when Matt Barrow sits down with Scott McLuhan, the former 49ers general manager, and says, hey, what do you think about these guys? I just think, so fun. I would be so happy for that. But again, the Niners, even though we're talking about a lot of the draft misses, keep in mind what they did last year. You got four hits already in 1 year. So the Niners trending positively, no doubt about that. No doubt. Let's see here. Let's talk Niners. I'd rather trade down in the first round and then trade up in the fourth and fifth round. I like that idea as well. Always got to have a dance partner, which is going to be difficult for the Niners to find somebody to trade down with. But, man, I hope they do. Charlie says, yeah, Kyle Shanahan deserves full credit for what he was able to get out of Debo. 100%. It was a perfect pairing. Perfect pairing. Jacob, thank you, Trent Baalke. You don't see that a lot on this show. For signing CJ Beathard as a free agent and getting us pick 262, that's how we got Brock. I love it. I love it. I love it. And David, as long as they learn, I'm okay with it. But Kyle's very stubborn. I agree with the stubbornness in Kyle Shanahan. They are match made in heaven. But they have adjusted their draft plans repeatedly. No more injured players. No more, you know, character issues. Now they're going after all these highly experienced guys. And, you know, one of the questions that I'm going to focus a majority of the episode on in the future, shout out to my man, James K. You know, he asked, like, in your research, what do the Niners telegraph? Like, what is it that they look for in certain positions? The new thing is experience and versatility. Not that versatility is not new, but experience is. After that Trey Lance draft, they said, screw this. We want guys who have played football. And so whenever I'm going through the very first character traits, like we do, like speed, explosiveness, havoc, whatever, all these different metrics that we just rate on a 1 to 10 scale, the first two traits we rank are experience, how many snaps, game start, versus their position group, and versatility. Again, you know, we go through every single player. Where do they line up? Is this a wide receiver that just lines up outside, or can he do the slot? Can he do special teams? Can he punt return? How many carries do wide receivers have? So this versatility scale, you know, probably the centerpiece of the 49ers draft press conference bingo card is versatility. How many times can they say we can really move this guy around? You know, he can play multiple positions for us, all that stuff. Those two traits, versatility and experience, paramount whenever you're looking at these players. And so whenever you get a, you know, mock draft out from a prominent NFL source and they have somebody like a Will Johnson to the 49ers, I'm like, man, this dude has a 2 on the experience scale. He has a versatility. He's got a 4. All right. But it's like, man, you don't draft injured guys. He's injured. Like, he doesn't have experience. He's a damn good player at a perfect fit. The 49ers had a formal meeting with him. But if I'm going off of the trends, I don't know. I can't see that at 11. If he falls really far, which I doubt, maybe. But, yeah, so Kyle Shanahan's stubborn. No doubt about that. But their draft philosophies continue to adapt and continue to change. Yeah, that's just something I believe on. NY Niners, I may not like the result, but I do like being aggressive. Your guy's close. Just go get him. Just please be right this time. Yeah. And it doesn't matter who you are. Every single team has guys they're wrong on. Everybody does. But when you trade back, and again, you know, one of my thing that I want to say all the time, if you trade up for a guy, you love him. If you stay put and draft him, you like him. If you trade back and draft him, you settle on him, right? What does that mean? Well, look at Ayuk. Traded up, love that dude. And you see the video of Kyle Shanahan drafted him. That was the COVID year. And he like high-fives nobody. His kids are around him. He don't care. He's just like a little kid in a candy store. Kyle Shanahan gets like that a lot. And I'm glad that he still has that passion. Trade back on a guy, Aaron Banks, sit him for a year. You know, so trade up, you love. Select at your spot, you like. Trade down, you settled. You settled. I don't mind settling. Because then you get more dart throws with those picks that you get when you trade back that can make a bad pick that you're not sold on better. Again, you traded back for Solomon Thomas. Solomon Thomas was the worst pick you could have done at that point probably. But it got you Fred Warner. It got you Fred Warner with one of the picks you got by trading 2 to 3. It just kind of diversifies the risk portfolio of your draft class. And I now the 49ers sitting, they're going to have 11 picks in this draft. 11. That's a lot of dart throws. That's a lot. Yeah, let's see here. we got right here. Oh, the Jerry Glanville, not for long. I remember it. I can see it in my head. He's wearing like all black, walking down the sideline in the old Georgia Dome. Falcons head coach. Somebody tell me, y'all see this clip in your head. NFL Films, and not for long. And it's played on the clip when they're going through like all the bloopers. Oh, man, what NFL Films was that? We used to always go before football games when I was in high school. We had like an hour off, and we had off-campus lunch and stuff. So me and a lot of my buddies on the football team, we'd go back to my place, and we'd watch NFL Films like Hardest Hits and all these things, the old VHS tape. And on one of them, there was a whole segment of bloopers, and it's like people cussing at the refs and whatever else. And that's where that, man, I could see it clear as day. Transports me back. Thank you, Mark, for that comment. Jerry, yeah, NFL, not for long. You're going to keep calling that. And then he like cusses. I remember it. I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, I wanted to shout out to my man, Russ. He asked if I could share more coaching stories during the offseason. And so I want to share this story, and I'm not going to use any real names, obviously. This was a good one. And it's almost like I tell people this story, you know, whenever we're out drinking and whatever else, and it comes up with all the coaches, and it's like made the rounds. One year, we had morning workouts, so we would lift weights in the morning. We'd watch film during our athletic period, then practice after school, right? So your kids get in, work out with the team, and then you got to clear them out because they're always late. And so you rotate locker room, dude, get out, let's go. And you're just like literally like shooing the students to school because you worked out before, whatever else. Well, anyway, this kid, one of my favorite humans I've coached, really, really good kid, and he walks out of the bathroom and he goes, "Coach, why does my toothpaste taste so weird?" And I was like, "What do you mean, man?" And he's got like toothpaste like in his mouth. Like you can see it around his lip. He's like, "Dude, why does this taste so weird?" And so he hands it to me and I'm looking at it. I was like, "Man, just it doesn't matter, whatever." He's like, "No," he's like, "something's wrong." And so I'm looking at this time, a couple other players like came over to like figure out what's going on. Anyway, it was a toothpaste that this kid had. One of the kids looks over my shoulder and says, "Hey, coach, why does that say vagina on it?" It was his mom's Monistat. I'm not joking. I cannot make this up. And I was just like, oh, man. By this point, the locker room loses it. This dude still has not toothpaste like on his mouth. And he totally owned it and like embraced it, didn't get mad or whatever. It was just like, he's like, "I'm never going to overcome this, am I?" I was like, "No, you're not." and he actually, his nickname became CT. I will not tell you what that means. You can plug in the references if you so choose, but, little things like that. And so whenever I was asked, he owned it too. And so all of his friends for like the next 2 years called him CT. And that like, I've run into this kid after he graduated, he went and played college ball. And like his nickname is still CT. Like he just took it and owned it. And like, he had that kind of personality. But yeah, that is an actual true story. And I remember it like it was yesterday. Because I didn't want to pile on. I've tried my hardest not to laugh and just be like, "Hey, dude, not that big a deal. Let's go. You got to go on to class." But imagine doing that, and then you still have class that day. And so I'm teaching, and I've got like all these kids run up to me. "Coach, is it true? Is it true? Is it true?" I'm just like, I could neither confirm nor deny. Well, here we are several years later. I can confirm that 100% did happen. Anyway, CT, you are the best, man. You're a good dude. I don't think he watches the show, and I sure as hell hope he didn't watch this one, but I didn't say his name, so it's what it is. Anyway, that's going to do it for today's show. A little bit of a shorter show. I got to go run a bunch of errands and all that stuff, but I'm going to continue just working on draft stuff, and we're building out our platform. The next breakdown over on the 49ersrush.com it's going to be none other than Femi Oladejo, which is a rough one because he's an off-ball linebacker that's going to be graded as an edge rusher. I love these. Oh man, CT Niner, tell us what that means. I love it. We're getting lots of laughing emojis. I love it right here. How you brush your teeth builds character, right? That is right. You guys are the best. And remember, turn on that notification for our live shows, because we're going to be giving away an autographed Deebo Samuel jersey later this week for all the people. Hashtag CC. And until next time, you guys are the best. Stay strong, faithful.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.